The following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
Well, let's just open in a word of prayer this morning as we look at God's Word together again. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for the sunshine, that we can enjoy it together, having a barbecue and just a great time together and interacting with our community agencies and with each other. And we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word together. We pray, as you've been faithful in the past, to just show us a little bit more about who you are and what you have planned for us. And I pray that you would continue to mold and shape us, that we would resemble your character in the world around us. And so today, as we look at your word, we know you'll be faithful to teach us what we need to hear today. We just get excited about all that you have planned for us as a community. Amen. Well, if you've been with us throughout the summer, you know that we've been in the midst of a sermon series called The Art of Missing the Point. And if you just came this Sunday and you've missed the summer, then you're kind of at the tail end of the series. And I'll try to catch you up as quick as I can. I just want to talk a little bit about what we've been looking at real quick and just review it a little bit for you. We've been basically looking at, how do we resemble Christ? How do we grow in character? How do we become like him? And we're so busy sometimes in the Christian world, in the church, and we do all these things, but sometimes we can miss the point of why we do them. And we can miss the point of even why we read the Bible, or why we're praying, or why we get together in groups, or why we serve, or why do we give, or why do we worship. And if we miss the point of that, if we stop to ask the why we're doing those things, we want to be a community here in Central Alberta that makes a difference all around us. We've been talking about that. But we got to make sure that we're doing the things for the right reasons, and not just going through the motions, not just doing lip service, but we're actually becoming like Christ in the community. And that's really what we've been talking about. And so discipleship, we talked about the first week, was it's more than just trying. Following Jesus is more than just trying our best. It actually takes discipline. It takes what Jesus said was counting the cost. It takes making a decision that we're going to have to lay down some things. We're going to have to leave some things behind. Our life is going to look different if we follow Jesus than it used to. And there's a dramatic difference between a follower of Jesus Christ and someone that just lives for their own success or their own journey or their own life. And so we talked about that. And then we talked about how giving is really an atmosphere. When we're generous, it's in that atmosphere that God begins to speak into us, because he is a generous God. And so as we step out and be giving, as we step out to be generous, we realize, I know I've heard so many stories, people say that inner voice we talked about, that God starts speaking to them and teaching them and correcting their value systems and how they see people. And many of you were generous by getting shoes, and you went on the journey of buying them, and you heard God speak into your own heart about how you see life and what you choose to buy and how you spend for yourself as opposed to how you give. And it's just been a great journey in that, because as we step into these atmospheres, as we follow Jesus into certain places, our theory was, or the theory of the series was, that's where God begins to speak into our life. And so generosity is one of those areas. We also looked at worship as being one of those areas. When we come before him and we lay our life down as a living sacrifice, when we acknowledge who he is and who he is in our life, and we actually call him Lord, that it's in that atmosphere of surrender where he speaks to us. He leads us forward. He teaches us his will according to his plan in the world, and not just our own agenda again. And then we talked about serving a little bit last week again, and that as we move to serve, as we move into our community, as we're willing to follow him to serve people around us that are hurting, that are broken, that again, he'll speak into our hearts. He'll begin to teach us and mold and shape us. And I know for me, this week has just, it's been one of those weeks. I'm journeying like you. And I'm moving into these atmospheres. I'm moving into these environments of what does it look like to serve other people. And so this week's been just this amazing journey of trying to figure that out and hearing God speak and sitting down as a family even this last week and looking at, you know, with my kids at finances and where money goes and how much it costs to live and what other people have and how do we live in such a way that we can serve other people and not just live for ourselves. So it's been a great journey, definitely for me as well as for you. So today we want to push into this area of community. What does it look like to be a part of community? And I want to challenge you that we can miss the point here. And sometimes in church kind of world, we think community is just friendships. It's just having a group of people that you like and enjoy. And, you know, churches are kind of known for having their potlucks and their barbecues like we're having today. And we kind of think, well, that's just what community is really about. And I want to challenge that a little bit today. Community in the Bible is just, it's just rich. The whole Bible is actually a story of God building himself up a group of people. And how they were to live in relationship to each other and in relationship to him. So even the if you look at even the Ten Commandments, for example, you know, over half of them were just about how they were to live with each other. And so God has always throughout Scripture joined how we live in community with one another with how we live in relationship with him. And they're so tight and so united that Jesus said it is impossible. It is impossible to be in right relationship with God and not to be in right relationship with people. Amen. And so there's a natural interlocking relationship of God and others. And so when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, many of you would remember that he said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second one is just as important, and it goes along with it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do one without the other. And so we experience, actually, the love of God in relationship with other people. And what I've been learning, and it's been a stretch for me, is that I actually get to experience who God is through other people. And so if I'm struggling sometimes to feel God's forgiveness, it's usually because I'm not living in a community that's a forgiving community. I'm trying to live in just isolation. And if I'm misunderstanding who God is, it's often because I'm not in community with his people. And so when Jesus came on the scene, it's interesting that his whole life, actually, while he was here, his years of ministry, he did amazing things. But you know what is his kind of, I guess the thing that he wanted to be known for the most, or what he actually recognized was his greatest work, was actually the group of people he hung out with. Jesus chose to live in community. And so we look at that and we wonder, I mean, if it was up to us to change the world, I think, and God said, you know, it's your job to make the biggest impact in the world, and he gave us our assignment. What we often would think is, well, we need to gather large groups of people. We need to have some great talks and great speeches, and we need to do some big miracles. We would do those things, that some of the things to draw attention. And it's usually very one-way focused. God's plan was to send Jesus into community and simply work with a group of guys for 3 years. In fact, when we look at Jesus' life and he comes to the end of his time on earth and we look at his prayer to the Father. So if you go to John chapter 13 all the way into John chapter 17, you see him begin to pray. And he says these words. He says, Father, I've completed the work that you have assigned for me. He doesn't then go list all the miracles he did. He doesn't even talk about raising people from the dead. He doesn't talk about feeding 5,000 people. He doesn't talk about his sermons and all the ways that he preached. You know what he talks about as the work that he completed? The guys he hung out with. He said, Father, I've been faithful and I kept them safe. I taught them how to follow you. We see throughout all Scripture that community is far more than just a bunch of people that we get along with. Community is, again, the atmosphere where God uses to shape and to mold us into his character. Sometimes we've got it a little bit confused, and And we've emphasized a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is very true. It's a personal decision. I have to make a personal decision. But the minute I make a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ, the first thing he does is he puts you into community, into a group of believers for you to now follow him and do life with. And so if you look at the series that we've been going through, and if you've been here and journeying with us, you'll realize that some of these things we've been talking about are very difficult. It's not easy to live generous, actually, day in and day out. And so sometimes we'll start well, right? We start off, we come here, we gather together, we hear God's word, we get excited, we're like, yes, we're going to do it, and we head out the door, and we kind of slow down as the week goes, and we kind of forget. Well, we know that most of us actually will forget 95% of what we hear on Sunday mornings in 72 hours. You want to depress a preaching pastor? You look at that stat and you realize by Tuesday, 95% of everything you said, all your hard work has been lost. And so we know that it is when Christians gather in groups of other Christians and begin to wrestle with God's word that it sticks and changes lives. So this has been hard stuff. We've been talking about laying down our lives and living a living sacrifice, being generous, serving. And if you don't have a group of Christians around you to pray for you while you're doing that, to encourage you to do that, to actually come alongside you and help you do it, to pick you up when you trip, then this is very hard stuff. We were never meant to follow Jesus Christ in isolation. And so there's all kinds of things we could talk about for community, but I want to focus today on one specific area of why I think community is important as I've grown up and I've looked around the church. Well, our vision statement, we've brought it up several times throughout this series because it's important to understand why we're here and what we're all about and what we're trying to do. And so our vision is to give everyone in Central Alberta the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and by following him, so we've been focusing on what does it look like to follow him, we realize that it would lead to compassion, and so we compassionately impact our world by following him. What we recognize here at Crossroads Church is that we do not follow him by ourselves, that we're called to actually follow him in community. And so one of our priorities is that we would, as we're following him, in order to become compassionate, that we would actually learn to love each other. That we would learn to figure out how to do life together. And Jesus actually said this: if you want to prove that my claims and my promises are true, the world will believe in me when you learn to love each other. And so again, the whole mission of Christ hinges on how we do community around here. And so our priority is loving each other deeply, and we believe here at Crossroads that it needs to be practical. So when you come to church on a Sunday morning and you walk in here, sometimes you feel the love, right? But it's really hard to practically love here at Crossroads Church when there's this many people around. You can just, I love the church. But we think that it needs to become practical expression of that. In other words, who is it that you are being loving towards? And who is it that you're serving? Who is it that you're giving? Who is it that you're laying your life down for? And so we believe that the best expression in a practical way is that we would bring together people into groups so that they could identify. And my dream and my hope is that you would be able to stand here today and identify who it is that you practically love on throughout the week and express what Christ is doing in your heart and journey with and walk with. That you would have actual people and names who pray for you and encourage you and correct you and help you as you try to follow Jesus Christ. I believe you need those people in your life. If I had my way, I would just put you all into groups. I would just, you know, and I'm not allowed to. I've been told that. It's not my job to put people in groups, but I would. So I want to tell you why I would do that. Because I actually don't believe it's just about friendships. I believe it's about intentional relationships. So that means I can gather together with people that I haven't met before. And if it's an intentional community that our focus is all about following Jesus Christ, and I am on the same page and I have the same value that I want to follow him, then there's an immediate connection. The Bible says the Holy Spirit in me resonates with the Holy Spirit in you, and we become brothers and sisters and we can walk together. I don't even actually have to be a friend yet, but I have to be intentional in how we journey together. In my life, I believe this is truth. My deepest, darkest, worst moments, when I'm at my worst, when I've been at my worst, when I've fallen, when I've tripped, when I've sinned, when I've let people down in my life, it's when I've chosen to isolate myself from Christian community. That's the reality. When I'm at my best, when I'm feeling in step with God and step with the Holy Spirit, when I'm following Jesus Christ passionately, it's been when I'm living in community with other Christian believers. I can literally think back times in my life when I know that I was walking close with God, and I can pinpoint the guys that I hung out with in the morning. I used to have a men's toast group, and we would get together and just eat toast in the morning and just talk about what God was revealing to our hearts and where we were at with that and how we were doing. And I was able to continue through my week and continue to pursue after the Holy Spirit was going and doing in my life. And I can look back in my life when there was points where I was just the darkest. Like, I can't believe how bad it got in my life. But if I was to ask a question and I was to be realistic and I said, was I meeting with other Christian believers for prayer, for support, encouragement? Was I being vulnerable with really where I was at? The answer is no. The answer is no. And so for me, I've just seen this pattern in my life, and I know that I absolutely need community. I can't follow Jesus Christ the way I'm meant to if I don't have the encouragement and support of people around me. I've been in the church and my whole life, and I've watched people drift. I've watched people drift away from community. You can almost see it coming if you've been in church for a long time. They start to miss. They start to disconnect. They start to, you wonder where they're at. And I don't see so-and-so very much anymore. What's going on? And soon enough, you'll find out that their life is beginning to unravel. Community is always an indicator of how you're doing spiritually, because our relationship with God is connected with relationship with other people. It just is. It's just the way he's created us. He's created us actually for community. Well, I want to look at a real simple scripture verse. I want to go very focused on what I think community could mean for you and what it's meant for me. In Luke 17, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. So that's the good news for today. He was talking to his disciples, he was talking to his followers, and he basically says, look, things that will trip you up are going to come. It's just part of life. In fact, when you look at it in the Greek, and yeah, I took my 4 years of Greek, and I can't really read it anymore, but I research it still, and I kind of understand it. But what they used to do in Greek is, whatever was really important in the verse, they always throw it up front of the sentence. So, and what I learned is that when you look at Greek like that, if you ever watched Star Wars when you were younger, and you know the little Yoda guy, the funny guy, he talked like Greek, really. I made the connection this week. And so he'd always say the most important words first. And so if you take this and you either say, well, this is what Greek would actually look like, or Yoda, whichever you're more inclined to. Impossible it is. See, that's how he would say it. Impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. That's what it literally would say in the Greek. It's impossible that you will be able to follow Jesus without encountering stumbling blocks, without getting tripped. Why? I want you to know something, that as we press into our community, as we long to make a difference, as we long to be compassionate, as we long to bring glory to God as a community, stumbling blocks will come. Stumbling blocks will come. We do not live in a neutral environment. It's the lie of the evil one to convince us actually as a Christian community that he isn't around. It's one of his biggest lies to us, is that he doesn't exist. He does not want us to make a difference in our community. We have an enemy. He is against bringing God glory. He is against the church becoming the church. He is okay with us playing church. Okay? The devil doesn't care if we come here every Sunday, do lip service, do our church thing, and go home. He does not care. You're a write-off. You already belong to God's kingdom if you're in Christ. You're a write-off to him. What he does not want to happen is that we make a difference in the world and bring glory to God. He will do everything he can to trip us up. Impossible it is for us as we go forward that stumbling blocks won't come. Stumbling blocks can be all kinds of things. Stumbling blocks can be sickness and loss, loss of loved one, loss of a career. There's all kinds of things I look back in my life that stumbled and tripped me up. It's when I question, God, are you good? And I experience some kind of loss or something that doesn't seem to fit with what I wanted in life, and it becomes a stumbling block. But I've already seen another huge stumbling block in our communities for sure, and it's actually prosperity. It's the opposite. It can be loss, but it also can be the good things. It's the blessing. It's the work, the extra work that you're getting. It's to distract you, to take you out. It's the extra stuff that you can buy, the flashy things that your heart gets drawn towards. It's the good things and the bad things that can become stumbling blocks. They can trip you up. And as Jesus was talking in this context, it's also the people. It's the people that you spend time with can trip you up and stumble you. So often I've seen good people in the church asking the wrong people for direction in life. Not followers of Jesus Christ, asking what they should do in their marriage, what should they do with their finances, what kind of job, career choices should they... They're asking all the wrong people, and they stumble and they trip them up because they're on a different value system. They care about things that we're not to care about. Throughout Scripture, Jesus taught and elsewhere that we will be tempted. It's going to come. I want you to know something. You will never grow to the maturity to the point, and this is depressing because I came to realize this, never grow past temptation. You won't. In fact, the more I think that you press, the more that you desire to follow Jesus Christ, the more that you desire to make an impact, the more stumbling blocks are going to come your way. Jesus was tempted. So if we think we can become like him and avoid temptation, we're just wrong. Temptation isn't sin. It's an attack. The attacks came on Jesus to fend for himself, to take what wasn't what he was supposed to take, to make something of himself when he was supposed to humble himself. All kinds of stumbling blocks will come our way as we press in. Why do we need community then? Why do we need community? We need community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Love this couple verses. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. I want to put the message up on the screen for you. I'm going to read the message version. The other translations are great too, but I love this one. I was reading it yesterday. It says, "It is better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one of you falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, that's tough. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? Why? Well, because if you have three of you, it'll even be better yet. Things will come to trip you up. Things will come to take you out. How do we get through that? I believe that we get through that by having people who genuinely care about us. It's more than a friendship. It's a commitment to following Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to living passionately in our world and making a difference. Uniting ourselves with other people will help pick us up when we fall down. The assumption is we will fall. We will trip. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. The question is, Who is it in your life who is willing to come to you as they watch you stumble and reach out a hand, confront you, and pick you up? What I've found is that it's got to be more than friendship. We live in a day when, you know, friends are just people that you like to like, and they want to be liked too. And so I've noticed some things that if it's just friendship, friends often don't confront other people because they're more concerned about losing their friendship than they are about you stumbling and falling.
That's right.
And I've found the same thing. I've been guilty of it. Sometimes I've been friends with somebody and I watch them spiraling. But I enjoy that friendship. And I get scared, and I don't want to risk the friendship for the confrontation. Christian community understands something different. We're about something that matters. And it matters more than whether you like me in the moment or not. I will come to you, and I will say the hard things. I will help pick you up. And that is what Christian community needs to be about.
Amen.
That's the kind of groups that we're hoping to have here. Because we do not live in a neutral environment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, so we need to be on our guard, not sleeping like others, not allowed to sleep like the rest of the world. We need to be on our guard. We need to be alert. We need to be clear-headed. So we need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. That's our job. Encouragement means to spur each other on. When we're getting lazy, when we're forgetting what God's taught us, when we're slacking off on doing what we know we're supposed to be about, they spur us on, they encourage us, they build us up, they help us continue, they help us fight the good fight and finish the race. That's what community is all about. Hebrews chapter 3 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. As parents, we know these things, right? We see it in our kids. We know that community can trip them up. We know that just having a friend is not enough. It's, what is that friend? What does that friend value and believe in? It's important. I'm not content just that my kids have friends. I need my kids to be surrounded by a community that loves Jesus Christ. We know that intrinsically about parenting. It matters who they hang out with. It will break or make them in life. I look back at my life. I look back at growing up the way I did, and I am actually quite shocked at how well I survived through my teen years. But I actually don't take credit for myself because I know myself deep down. I am very vulnerable to so many things in life, but it was the community that my parents put around me. It was a community that my parents encouraged me to be a part of. They knew that it was important that who I hung out with week by week by week would dramatically impact whether or not I follow Jesus Christ or not. We know this is true for our kids. We know this is true for our teenagers. I can't tell you how many phone calls we get to the church, I get personally, of families from all around the country when they know that their loved ones are coming to college here. This is the time of the year we get the calls. And the calls come to me usually because I'm the connecting pastor. And I get the calls like, listen, my kid moved to town. I'm scared. What can you do to put community around my kid? What can you do? Where can they go? Where can they plug in? How can they get connected? Is there groups? What can happen for them? What can you do? Can you call them? Here's their number. It's amazing things. I had a family member say, there's a person in my family and this is where they go. Can you go there and just bump into them? Don't tell them I sent you. This is true. This is what happens. Why? We know it for other people. But here's what Hebrews is saying is this. We ourselves can be deceived. And we see it in other people's lives. We see when they're hanging around people that are leading them to stumble. We also see when they're hanging out with people and we wish we could be a part of what they got. We know it is true. The problem with deception is this: we don't know when we're deceived. That is the definition of deception. So how do we follow Jesus Christ and not be deceived? I live in community with people who are willing to challenge me and say, Sean, I see something you're blinded to right now. That relationship, that's not healthy. Your work ethic right now, you think that's good? That's not good. Sean, this is what I see that you can't see. I absolutely need community to follow Jesus Christ passionately. I can get tripped, I can fall down, and I need people to help me up. So what about you? We just long to have people in community here. One of the ways that we do that is through groups. I believe that serving is another vital way that we get a part of community here. God has created you with unique gifts and abilities, and it says in Scripture that they are to build into community. They're not for you. Your gifts and your abilities that God has given you are not for just yourself. They're actually for the benefit of community. He's called us to live in it. So here at Crossroads, we're trying all kinds of variety of ways to help you get into community. And so every fall and after Christmas, we promote a variety of kinds of groups. And right now online, you can go there and there's 60-some groups that you could register in. And some are around interests and common interests, so you can meet people and get to know. Some are called growth groups where they're just diving into God's Word. Some are mid-sized community where they're larger groups. Some are about serving other people, but some are about having a good time and just creating events where you can meet people. What we know is there's so many pathways to get into community. What we long for is not that you show up. We long for you to get to know a group of people one day that you can lay before, pour out your heart, and they can journey with you as you follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes that doesn't happen in the first group, and so we know maybe you didn't have a perfect group experience the first time. Try it again. Don't give up. Community is how we follow Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you this year, if you haven't done it before, that you take the risk. It's a risk to be vulnerable, to get into community. If you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you should be helping other people along the journey. We need you to lead. We need you to facilitate. We need your homes. We need you to be willing to walk with people. It's a discipline of community. I got to tell you something. When they hired me here, one of the first things that I said to them, this, I got to be careful of this. You'll wonder why they hired me. I'm not sure either at the end of this conversation. I said, you know, groups, I love and hate them. They hired me. Because the truth is, it's a discipline for me. I am a selfish person. When I'm sitting at home at the end of the day and I'm on the couch, I don't want to get up and go into community sometimes. I'm not the one that skips to group. I'm not. I'm the one that knows that if I don't have it, I can get tripped in life. I need a place to be real. I need a place to be honest. And it's not easy for me. But it's necessary for me. What the devil wants us to do is to get isolated. He knows when we're isolated, we're easily attacked, Ecclesiastes said. We're easy prey. But when we're united together, we can help each other walk the walk. So I encourage you, as we go out to this barbecue, there's a groups table there. If you need information, you ask about it. If you're willing, you've been walking with Jesus for a while, and you're willing to walk with other people who are brand new at this thing, then we need you. We need you to help facilitate. We need you to open your homes. You can go to that table and get more information today. We need you to mix out there and get to know people you haven't got to know. I know it's a risk again. I know it's uncomfortable, but that's part of the discipline of community. We do it, we exercise it, not just because it's easy, but because we need it. If we plan to make a difference in our world, we will do it through community. That's what the church is. It's a group of people compassionately following Jesus Christ together. Let me pray for you as we close. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge today that so often we want to be hidden. Sin in our life makes us want to hide, right back to Adam and Eve who hid from you in the garden. Our natural tendency is to hide, to be selfish, to be undisclosed, to keep our struggles in, to try to figure it out alone. Heavenly Father, would you help us? Help us to plug into real, authentic Christian community beyond friendships. Help us to walk with people. Allow people to challenge us. Allow people to speak in our lives, because we're so easily deceived. We're so easily tripped. Would you show us how we can begin to walk in community? Even if we're already in groups, Heavenly Father, we know for us that are in groups already, we know it's so easy again to hide in the group, to not be vulnerable, to not be open. So even those that are in groups, would you teach us how to live in community? How to encourage each other at a deeper level? How to love each other at a deeper level? Love enough to challenge, rebuke, correct, and pick up and pray for. May you teach us to love each other in such a radical and deep way that, like you prayed, the world would look at what we have in community and say, I want that. They would look at what we have in community and say, Jesus must be who he said he was, because I've never seen people love like that. I know that's your plan for us. That's your heart's desire. So I pray that you would empower us to take steps of faith and obedience and discipline ourselves to walk this way. Lead us as a congregation. As we look forward to what you have for us in store, may we unite in love and do it together. In Jesus' name I pray these things.